It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station.
Good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock at KSL News Radio. I'm Jeff Kaplan. We have broken clouds, 43 degrees. KSL's top story. We're waiting for the governor to speak. Any moment now, Governor Gary Herbert will address the state about slowing the spread of coronavirus. Today, the state announced a second death. There are now 480 confirmed cases. 480. 9,200 people have been tested for the disease in this state. Officials with the Southwest Utah Public Health Department say the latest death, a woman under age 60 who passed away after having significant other health problems apart from the virus. State epidemiologist Angela Dunn says the rate of infection hasn't shot up statewide.
And that's a good sign. We have not yet seen an exponential increase that surrounding states and other states across the country have seen. So that means our social distancing measures and our public health measures are working currently.
Dunn says they expect to see a rise in confirmed cases since drive-through testing was expanded across northern Utah. COVID-19 is forcing UTA to make very serious cuts to their service. Ridership is way down as people stay home, and they can't afford to keep things running the way they do now. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has that part of the story.
Bus and tracks ridership are both down around 60%. Frontrunner ridership is down 75%, and this drop is very noticeable.
There's a lot less riders today than there was just a few weeks ago.
Mass transit users say these cuts will be a headache, but they're necessary.
You know, you adjust what you have to, you adapt, so I'm sure I'll be fine.
Spokesman Carl Arkey says essentially people may have to wait twice as long as they normally do.
If your bus was running on a 15-minute schedule, it'll probably go to a 30-minute schedule.
And he says people need to log on to UTA's website to see if their bus route has been changed. Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 402. Much needed financial help will soon be in the hands of American families. Maria Chaleos is joining us live from the KSL National News Desk. If the governor begins to speak, we're going to interrupt, and I apologize in advance, Maria.
Okay, Jeff. President Trump this afternoon signing the $2 trillion economic package. The measure is designed to help struggling workers and businesses affected by the economic slowdown in the fight against the coronavirus.
I want to thank Republicans and Democrats for coming together, setting aside their differences, and putting America first.
The president is also accusing General Motors of wasting precious time needed to make ventilators. He's ordering GM to begin production using the Defense Production Act, which hasn't been used since 1950. Mr. Trump says there's no time to waste bickering over a contract. At today's bill signing ceremony, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy hailed the bipartisan measure.
The virus is here. We did not ask for it. We did not invite it. We did not choose it. But with the passing of this bill, you will see that we will fight it together, and we will win together.
The head of the World Health Organization is warning against the use of untested medicines to treat coronavirus.
We must follow the evidence. There are no shortcuts.
He says in the past, many treatments were not as effective as they thought or were actually harmful. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
Let's continue with our coronavirus coverage, and here's Fuchs.
Jeff, China and several other countries around the world are studying drugs that could potentially be used to treat COVID-19. These are drugs that aren't available in the U.S. A research pharmacist at the U of U says it's possible we could see those drugs here if those studies are well designed.
There are certain measures FDA could take to fast-track an approval in the United States, if you will. And again, that would be up to that agency and then the pharmaceutical company who developed that drug.
The drugs include remdesivir, which was developed originally to treat Ebola. Two drugs that are used to treat flu in Japan and Russia are also being studied. The city of South Salt Lake wants to help those whose wallets have taken a hit from the pandemic. KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce reports city council members are talking about ways to connect people with financial resources.
Some ideas being thrown about are maybe updating South Salt Lake's website with information about where to find financial counselors, or possibly using the staff they have now to answer people's questions. Everything has to be remote, of course, because of the coronavirus. Ultimately, many city council members would like to partner with local nonprofits to set up a financial empowerment center people could use year-round.
The city could take it up as early as next week. And here's a new term that you'll need to learn: Zoom bombing. A candidate for governor says it happened to her. Your voice, your vote, 2020. Lindsay Ertz is live at the KSL Elections Desk.
Amy Winder Newton's first online Zoom meeting with state delegates didn't go as planned.
We began the meeting. John and I both gave our introductions, and then we had hackers that basically took over.
She says they were laughing and posted inappropriate things.
Inappropriate pictures, racial slurs, things that we were dealing with, and we finally got to the point where we just had to shut the meeting down.
This type of attack is apparently called Zoom bombing, and it's happening more and more. Zoom's website even has tips to prevent it. From the KSL Elections Desk, Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 4:05. My minute of news is on the way next, or the governor is whenever his news conference starts. We'll carry it live on KSL News Radio. KSL News Time 4:05.
Your next big win is closer than you think. Start by getting Xfinity Internet, which gives you the best Wi-Fi experience with coverage throughout your home. That's a win. You even get added protection for your connected devices with Xfinity X5, making it a win-win. And Xfinity Mobile, the most reliable wireless network that saves you up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. And, well, winning with Xfinity has never been more simple, easy, awesome. Don't miss out on Xfinity Internet and Mobile, each for $30 a month. You'll get Internet for 12 months with a one-year agreement and Mobile with 3 gigs of shared wireless data. Plus, ask how you get $300 off when you buy a new Galaxy S20 Ultra. Just go to Xfinity.com/savebig today. Internet offer ends 3/30/20. New Performance Starter Plus customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Wireless savings compares to averages of top providers. Galaxy offer ends 4/5/20.
Tim Hughes back again with my friends Greg and Mike at Replenish Landscape Garden Products. If 2020 is the year you've decided to start growing your own vegetables, we've got great news for you, because, Greg, this box garden blend is really going to get people off to a great start.
This is a soilless blend that has proven itself over the last decade to be very productive and has everything you need to grow great vegetables.
That's a soilless mix, Mike, but you have great soil blends available, too, for people in the spring.
We do. We have our Ute-Lite Garden Mix, which is a blend of topsoil, compost, and Ute-Lite soil conditioner. And we also have just our topsoil compost blend. Both of those products are excellent products as well.
And people can get them in bag, they can get them in bulk, or they can actually have them delivered right to their house. Whatever you or your garden needs, Replenish Landscape Garden Products has it available to you this spring. See them at 4660 South 200 West in Murray. You'll find them online at replenishcompost.com, and of course you can call them at 801-262-5142. As we always say, Replenish, it's good stuff.
KSL News Time 4:08. My minute of news is brought to you by Any Hour Services Electrical Plumbing, Heating, and Air. For some reason, I keep thinking of one of the earliest Simpsons episodes where Bart orders a spy camera and he drives the mail carrier crazy every day. Lady, where's my spy camera? Here.
Lady, where's my spy camera? Where's my spy camera?
Where's my spy camera? Here's your stupid spy camera.
Oh, thanks, man.
I think we're all going to be like Bart. Lady, where's my $1,200? Lady, where's my $1,200? It's $1,200 that you'll receive if you make less than $75,000. $2,400 for couples who make less than $150,000. You know this part already. So let's read the fine print. President Trump wants the IRS to send you money by April 6th. For all you shut-ins, today is March 27th, so we're talking 10 days from now. So April 6th might not be realistic. In 2008, it took the government 2 months to get stimulus checks out the door, but things do move a little quicker these days. If the IRS already has your direct deposit information, they'll slide that money right into your bank account. Now, if they don't have your direct deposit info, lady, where's my money? Lady, where's my money? You get the idea. A check eventually comes in the mail. But the government's also considering whether to send preloaded debit cards, which would be great for people who don't have bank accounts. Now, what if the government gets the amount they send you wrong? Well, you can try and call and complain. Good luck with that. More likely, you'll be able to fix the government's mistake when you file your 2020 taxes at the end of the year. So some advice. The government does make mistakes. It's true. So don't count your chickens before they hatch. Don't spend that money before you have it in your hot little hand. Okay?
Thanks, man.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
We're still waiting for Governor Herbert's news conference to begin at the state capitol. Meantime, President Trump is holding his daily coronavirus news briefing at the White House. Let's listen in to that now.
So incredible to us and to the people of our country. And Denton McLean, chairman of McLean Global Logistics, and they've joined us. They're on stage with me. They're going to speak. Throughout this ordeal, I've been awed and inspired by the American people more than anything else, more than anyone else. Americans of every walk of life have followed the guidelines, shown incredible compassion, and sacrificed greatly on behalf of their fellow citizens. I want every American to know that their selfless and heroic actions are saving lives, and I want them to know, and I've said it before, that I'm very proud to be their president, very proud of the American people. My administration is actively planning the next phase in an all-out war against this horrible virus. We're now testing nearly 100,000 patients per day, more than anybody in the world. And we've now, as of even a couple of weeks ago, tested more than any other country in the world. And our capacity continues to grow. Widespread surveillance testing will allow us to monitor the spread of the virus, and we're doing that quite accurately. And Deborah and Tony will be speaking about that, and coordinate with the states to contain new hotspots as they arise with a targeted, fact-based, and data-based approach. It's all data-driven. This surveillance testing will soon enable us to publish updated guidelines for state and local leaders. We want every county and region in the country to have the on-the-ground evidence that they need to determine the mitigation measures that are right for them. Each location is different. Some are very, very different. Some are day and night. Some are in great shape and some aren't in great shape. And we'll be able to have very accurate information very shortly. We already have a lot of that information. America is bravely battling this pandemic through cutting-edge science, medical innovation, and rational, deliberate, and determined vigilance. No effort will be spared in winning this war. We're going to win the war. Hopefully, we're going to win soon and with as few lives as possible lost. You see what's going on all over the world. You see the lives. You see Italy. You see Spain. You see all of these countries going through so much, going through such hell. And we're all in very strong communication. I can tell you our professionals are dealing with them every day, many of the countries. So many countries, but many of the countries we're dealing very directly and closely. And we're going to be in very good shape in terms of certain equipment that's very hard to get, very hard to manufacture. And at the right time, we'll be distributing that equipment throughout the world to other countries. Boris Johnson was asking for ventilators today. As you know, Boris is he's tested positive, and that's a terrible thing. But he's going to be great. I'm sure he's going to be totally great. But they want ventilators. Italy wants ventilators.
We're going to interrupt the White House briefing. Governor Herbert is at the podium at the State House live on KSL News Radio. Let's go to Governor Gary Herbert.
I'm assuming we're ready.
He's standing at the podium. Here we go.
Let me welcome everybody that's joining with us for this press conference. I'm Gary Herbert, the 17th governor of the great state of Utah, and I'm honored to be here to speak with you here this late afternoon. So thank you for your participation. Let me just mention to you that I know people know we're in the throes of a challenging time. The coronavirus, COVID-19, as we call it, is a serious challenge that we face, unprecedented of any time in our history. And it brings with us a lot of uncertainty, some fear, apprehension, high anxiety, not only about our own health and well-being, as as us, of, as individuals, our family members, our friends, but also our economic well-being. And they're kind of joined together, and it causes people to have fear about the future and what's going to happen because I don't know. I understand that, and I recognize that we're asking you to do some things that are uncomfortable, that are disruptive. I know my own family, for example, we for over 25 years have gotten together every Sunday for dinner together as a family. I have 6 children and 17 grandchildren. It's quite a group to get together, but we've done it. But we don't do it anymore, at least not in this particular situation with the coronavirus. So I recognize that's maybe just a simple example that all of us are facing different trials and challenges that are requiring us to in fact, sacrifice, to be more determined, to work together to see if we can't find a solution. And to that end, we put together the plan. We have Utah Leads Together, which is designed to actually help us get through these challenging times and get into better times. It's a process. It's going to take some time to do it. The first phase is one of urgency. The next phase is one of stabilization. And the final stage is one of recovery as we see the economy start to recover. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but we are going to spend some time on the first phase of urgency, because that's the phase we're in now. And if we don't get this right, the other two phases don't really count much. Certainly what will happen is they'll be delayed. And if we do this first phase right, we can get this turned around in a matter of a few weeks as a matter of a few months. So I hope that everybody will join with us as we analyze what we're doing and what we need to do as we go forward. So I'm calling this part of our urgency phase, this next step, we'll call Stay Safe, Stay Home. Stay safe, stay home. There's no better place for you to be safe than at your own home. Now, we know that there's exceptions to that rule. People have to go to work. We have challenges that do health care, whether that's people that we're helping with or have to administer health. So there's a lot of examples and exceptions to being able to get out and travel and interact with members of society. We're going to produce a document, this directive that we're giving out today, to really reemphasize what are some of the common sense things we're already doing. So we hope, again, that you'll have this opportunity to take a look at this. You can go to our webpage, coronavirus.utah.gov, to get information and links to this new directive we're putting out here today. Let me just go over some highlights of the directive. And let me just emphasize, this is something we expect all Utahns to do. This is a directive to people of Utah. It's something that will only work if we all participate and do our part. There is no exception to this. So people say, well, it's for everybody else but not me. All of us are in this together. And if we do this, we're going to come out, I think, in good shape over the next few weeks. Again, some of this is a reemphasis of what you already know. Our directive, stay safe, stay home, which means that all individuals should stay home as much as possible. That ought to be the emphasis, what can I do outside, but what do I do to stay home? Work from home whenever possible. I'll talk more about this in a minute. Encourage phone and video chats. We have the technology today to help us with communication. We're a social people, and so talking and communicating with people is an important aspect of keeping our sanity and our mental health right. We just need to do it in a more remote way. Self-quarantine. If you've been away or if you've been exposed to somebody who has COVID-19, then you should, of your own volition, self-quarantine. Again, help us stop the spread of this virus. We need to engage in what we call appropriate social distancing. That's the new part of our vernacular now that we're getting to use all the time, social distancing. It's the physical distance between you and an individual. It should be at least 6 feet. And so as we maintain that distance, we'll help, again, slow down the spread of the coronavirus. Not shaking hands with people. Find another way to greet them. Bow. We've talked about touching elbows. Maybe that's a way to do it, too. But we need to be just cognizant of the fact we don't want to have skin-on-skin touching. I know this is a hard one. You're going to have to cut down and not visit friends and family. I've talked about our thing for Sunday dinner. Unless there's some kind of an urgent need, you just need to make that a change of your lifestyle for the next couple of weeks. Not attending any gathering of any number of people, except for members of the same household or residence. So if there's a gathering outside, we have people that inadvertently start to gather at grocery stores, shopping center areas, and maybe it's more happenstance than by plan. But if that happens, you shouldn't disengage and disperse the group so that we don't have gatherings of a number of people together. Again, doing this will help us slow down the spread. Again, some of the common sense things we've talked about with our hygiene standards, washing your hands, making sure that you sing happy birthday to yourself twice is 20 seconds to washing your hands with hot water and soap, hand sanitizer, avoid touching of your face, covering up your coughs or sneezes. This is transmitted, we know, more and more by goblets, water droplets, that's how the people, in fact, get infected. So covering your coughs and sneezes is very important. We should, at our offices, our home, regularly clean high-touch surfaces, buttons, door handles, doorknobs, countertops, light switches, handles, chair rails. I mean, those kinds of things should be washed down and cleaned often. Last but not least, we need to help others. Sometimes we need to just remind, oh, I can't shake your hand. I'm going to do the elbow touch or I'll bow. We need to wipe off the surfaces. We've got too many people here to congregate together. Let's break in and disperse into smaller groups. We can all be a little bit aware and help others to become aware and doing our part to help others practice these same principles. A second category, which we want to emphasize that has not been emphasized enough, I don't think, in the past, is high-risk individuals. High-risk individuals are people that are over 60 years of age. I'm one of them, that has underlying health issues, maybe some respiratory ailments and other things, but they're at high risk, and those individuals really do not and should not be visiting friends or family that does not have some kind of an urgent need connected to it. Do not interact with other high-risk individuals. We have a lot of social gatherings where it's just senior citizens. That's got to stop, at least till we get through this urgency phase. So do not interact physically with other high-risk individuals. Do not visit hospitals, nursing homes, or other residential care facilities. Those people are vulnerable there, and that's where you don't want to be either. Do not engage in recreational travel. Again, for our senior citizens and those who are in the high-risk category, the safest place to be is in your home. Stay safe, stay home. That's the phrase. Again, leave home only for emergencies and as infrequently as possible. You need to plan your days a little more. If you have to go grocery shopping, that ought to be not an everyday occurrence. That maybe is a once a week. If you can't get out, then the neighbors or other people ought to step up and see if you can find ways to help your neighbor and those who probably shouldn't be in the grocery store or around more people. Help them by getting groceries for them, delivering them to their front porch and ring the doorbell and then stand back 6 feet as they pick it up. Children, that's a third category. Children, again, as you know, our public schools are closed, and we would recommend that children should not attend school. I know there's reason to go pick up food for grab and go and get assignments. So those ought to be quick stops, quick visits. The schools are officially closed until May 1st. We'll reevaluate at that date and see what happens in a month. But again, children should not be attending schools outside of their home. You should not arrange for play dates for people to come to your home and have a group setting with a bunch of young people playing. I know that's hard. It's not what we're used to, but it's something we need to enforce here for the next couple of weeks. And do not allow children on the public playground. That's a place where we can have enhanced transmission of the coronavirus, and so playground equipment and children playing there is a no-no. Food directives, let me give you some information on that. Again, we know that the hardest hit probably of all of our sectors of our economy is the hospitality industry, particularly restaurants and food opportunities. again, we like to go out and socialize. That's really what motivates us to go out and eat. Maybe not the food so much as it is just to hang out together. I get that. But for right now, do not dine out except for getting carry out and delivery, curbside service. We have many restaurants and dining areas that are making accommodations for this to happen. Obviously, our schools are sending food home, and that's okay. But we just need to be careful in going to restaurants and dining in. We need to do more curbside and takeout. By the way, there is a challenge we've put out there called the 3T Challenge. That means that all of us should try to find three times a week to do takeout. Go to your favorite place and get some takeout. That helps keep them afloat. I know that my wife just had her birthday, and she went out and wanted to go to dinner here a couple of weeks ago, but they and her girlfriends decided, let's just get takeout, and then they all bought a gift card for an additional time to help the restaurant stay afloat during these troubled times. That's a good thing that all of us can try to contribute to. If you're going to be outside for whatever reason that's essential, then maintain a distance of at least 6 feet from another person at all times. Again, that's part of our social distancing. If you're going to exercise, which is okay, you go out and exercise, you jog down the road, walk around the block, walk your dog, a lot of different things you can be doing, hiking on a trail, but maintain your distance of 6 feet from any other person and without touching any common areas. Do not congregate at trailheads. Again, that happens, and so we're saying to people, this is something you need to be cognizant about and avoid. No congregating at trailheads or other outdoor places. And do not travel or participate in activities of any of these following locations: public amusement, parks, where there's public activities going on, public swimming pools, or gyms and fitness centers. For right now, those are going to be off limits. Travel, we need to think in terms of only what we would consider essential travel. Again, the thought process is what can we do at home without having to travel? But we know that there are times when you need to care for family members, health care issues. If you need to perform work and you can't telecommute, or do your work from home, which we hope employers will try to accommodate, then you might have to travel to a work-related place. Again, we still would want the employee to engage in safe practices to make sure that they are not exposing themselves to some kind of risk with the coronavirus. You may need to seek emergency services. We understand that. Needs for health care, medications, donate blood, all kinds of issues regarding your health. Certainly those emergency services are okay. I've had people ask about leisure driving, and that's okay. If you want to take a leisurely drive for your mental health, and you've got a car and a gas tank full of gas, you can do that. But we'd ask you to, again, to think in terms of what can you do home first, but you can go on a leisurely drive. We've talked about the need to obtain food. Grocery stores and other kind of shopping centers are okay, but again, we would hope people would try to minimize their access to those points by planning in advance. For the elderly people, maybe it's a little bit of a challenge. We'd ask for them to find people to help them, family members or friends that can do some of that shopping for them. We do note that many of our grocery stores and other stores are providing opportunities for senior citizens to come in at different hours where that's just for the senior citizens only, fewer people and a little less hectic and easier for them to get around. So, if we've got some programs we're going to help for those who are homeless, and Pamela Atkinson is going to help us coordinate those efforts with our homeless population, our friends there that need to travel from place to place to find shelter. And we're going to try to do that to make sure that we don't have any exposure there. The next category I've got is airports. Again, we have concerns with our airports, working with the Salt Lake City Mayor Mendenhall and the Salt Lake City Airport. Some changes are going to be made at the Salt Lake City Airport that only ticketed passengers were going to be allowed in the public areas of airports. If a ticketed passenger needs assistance, no more than one person may accompany that ticketed passenger. They're going to have a ticket, or it can be one associated with a ticket, but that's it. Individuals other than ticketed passengers must remain in their cars during a pickup and drop-off, which must be curbside or in the parking garage. That's what's going to happen at Salt Lake City International Airport. Part of this directive is to have us work with all of our commercial airports, say Provo or St. George or Ogden, and take a look at what's taking place with policies there and see if we can emulate this same thing that's happening in Salt Lake City. So we're going to make it a little more restrictive for those folks coming into our airports, particularly from outside of our state. I know outdoor activities in parks are a question, and certainly individuals may engage in outdoor activities. We've talked about walking, hiking, biking, running, hunting and fishing is okay. There are some public parks that will work. There are some playgrounds that won't work that are in parks. So you can go to the park, but probably avoid the playgrounds. Again, these all need to be consistent with having social distancing, physical distancing of at least 6 feet from individuals one to another. Again, no congregation at trailheads, at parks, or any other outdoor spaces. Again, there's a natural tendency for us to group together. That needs to stop. State parks are only going to be available here in the state of Utah to residents of the county in which the state park is in. So we're going to have some slowdowns there, but that'll help us control the spread of the virus, which is what we're trying to do. And so state parks are available only to residents of the county in which the park is located. The availability of our national parks is in a process right now to be reviewed by us along with our National Park Service and the folks in Washington, D.C., and that will be made available as soon as we have information on whether national parks are going to be open or closed. Last but not least, let's talk about businesses. Again, we are not closed for business. We are in a little bit of a slower time for business than we've had in the past. We certainly know that unemployment requests are going up. Our unemployment rate has gone from the lowest in our history to around 5% now. We have our Department of Workforce Services, which is there designed to help people that have a need. They help them get onto unemployment insurance to take care of their needs, but also to help them get a job. We have jobs available out there. They may need different training and education, but we will help them to get a new job and a new opportunity. So Workforce Services is a place to be considered there for anybody who's out of work. We also are working with the legislature, and we'll see if we have any programs to help with our business community that are needing a bridge to get through these troubled times. And so we're going to be working here at the state level to see what we can provide, maybe in additional programs. We're working with our local banks. We know that some of our mortgage institutions have an ability for difficult circumstances to give you a grace period on having to make your mortgage payments. 3 to 6 months grace, and help you get through again a tough time. We also saw that today that the federal government passed, with the House's vote now, after the Senate already voted, a $2 trillion relief package to help us in many different areas of concern throughout the country. Some of that money will be coming to the state of Utah, and we'll be looking to see how to spend that money the most effectively that we can, again, helping businesses stay afloat, helping to give relief to individuals and employees and the public in many different ways and forms. So, again, stay tuned for that, but that's something that's going to be on the docket and will probably be coming into a special session in the next short time, maybe 2 weeks or three, to, in fact, address that very issue as we come together with our legislature to have a special session to address that. Again, let me just say to our business people, our for-profit as well as our nonprofit, we need to make sure that you do everything you can to accommodate your employees. They need to know that they're coming to a safe environment. If they're sick, the presumption is that they're sick. This is not something they're faking. They don't have to have a COVID-19 get-out-of-work card. They should be able to be assumed that they're sick. We don't want them to be on the job if they're sick of any nature. I've had calls from people that say, I feel good in the work I'm doing, but I don't feel good at the office. when I'm outside doing the work I'm required to do, I feel okay and precautions are taking place, but not in my office at the home front. So we need to make sure that in all instances our employees are put into an environment that will protect them, that they don't risk their health. And again, we slow down the spread of this virus. There's opportunities to make sure that we, at corporate headquarters, we don't have groupings of 10 people. If we have 10 or less, that's okay, but they still ought to be spaced out. Let's make sure that we spread out our desks and spread out the office equipment so that we're not congregating during working hours, minimizing our face-to-face contact, implementing flexible hours. You can have different shifts. We expect our private sector to be innovative and find ways to, in fact, enforce the directive that we're giving out here today and still providing opportunities for their business to continue to survive and get through this troubled time and hopefully be prepared to thrive when we get through these next few weeks. We are open for business, and we want to maintain that opportunity as we protect the health and welfare of the people that we represent and those that we work with. All right, with that, let me just conclude here and just say, again, these are directives that you'll be able to find on our webpage, so if you get the detail there. But as the governor of Utah, after having analyzed all that we're doing, what we're trying to do, and what we have still yet to do, there's an expectation that all of us will follow these directives. And we need to do that. We need to do it in concert together. All of us need to work together if we're going to get through this and survive and, in fact, not only survive, but then be able to thrive in a few weeks. We have 13 regions identified by our local health departments. We have 13 local health departments. Some counties have one health department. Some counties share a health department where two or three counties together. But we have 13 of them. And so we are expecting that those 13 different health departments, in conjunction with their local elected officials, mayors, council members, county commissioners, county council people, can work together and really, as is appropriate and necessary, let me emphasize, as is appropriate and necessary, and different measures can be taken to enhance what we're given here today. So this is not a one-size-fits-all necessarily. If there are, in fact, needs to have some more stringent requirements, again, the local elected officials work with the local health departments. In conjunction with us on the state level, our state health department, there can be some modifications made to these directions here today. Last but not least, let me assure everybody that we are, in fact, collecting data, more so now than ever before. That's ramped up. The data, the science, the medical advice, the best we can find is what's going to drive policy. And this is not something we are just taking out of thin air. This is something that's been thought about and analyzed in great detail. That will continue. In fact, we plan to have, starting Monday, daily briefings, which will be available to the press so that the public at large knows what's happening, what the data shows us, and what is, in fact, informing us as far as what future policy it will be or must be. We think these policies we have in place, which are going to be effective immediately and will be in effect for the next couple of weeks. In fact, I think I've got a April. Yeah, they'll be in place until April 13th, and we expect everybody to follow them. If there's questions, give us a call. We're happy to work with you and explain them. And again, we know that there's questions that will come. But the data will inform us as far as what to do. We're going to have daily briefings starting Monday, so we can keep the public informed on these issues. We'll take questions. We'll try to give you good answers. Your local officials and your local health departments, as well as the state, will give you factual information. There's a lot of rumors out there. We get calls all the day. Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Let's make sure that we deal with the facts and the best science and the best medicine advice we can find as we get through this working together. So with that, we thank you all for your sacrifice. We thank you for your willingness to participate and follow these directives. And if we do so, this first phase of urgency will get through, we'll get into the stabilization mode, and then we'll start growing the economy. And we can do that in a few weeks. If we don't do it, it's going to take us a few months. So I'm optimistic, very positive about the future. I think we're going to do this better than any state in America. So our future is bright. So thank you very much. We'll see if there's any questions now.
Governor Gary Herbert speaking live at the state capitol on KSL News Radio. Can we bring these questions on the air? Is that possible, or are they on some separate channel? Yes. Can you try and raise it? I think the problem is that reporters are not gathered with the governor, that this is taking place on a Zoom conference call. And if you've ever had a Zoom conference call, it can be a little confusing. We're going to be monitoring the questions and the answers. Let's bring the governor up.
Kind of reinforcement. Some of this stuff has been practiced. There's a lot of confusion out there as far as what's happening. So we're wanting to reinforce that if you want to stay safe, which most people want to be safe, then stay home. That's the place to be most of the time. We know that there are exceptions to that are necessary and appropriate. And so we've tried to outline these and talk about, you know, what is appropriate and what is not. But this is kind of an opportunity for us to recommit to these common sense things and reemphasize what's been said before. Again, this is the governor of Utah asking everybody to comply.
All right, given that the questions are inaudible, we'll continue to monitor this. And if there's anything newsworthy that comes from the question and answer section of this news briefing, we will bring it to you on KSL News Radio. Well, this speech ran about 25 minutes from the state capitol. Salt Lake City was crackling with anticipation that the governor was going to issue a shelter-in-place order this afternoon. But instead, what was unveiled was the Stay Safe, Stay Home program, what the governor called a common sense guide to dealing with coronavirus, what one might call a list of suggestions that you've been hearing for 2 weeks now, suggestions about social distancing. It's not a formal order, though he did use the term directive. There's no penalty. He simply asks that you stay in your home as much as possible. The common sense guidance that you've been hearing was punctuated with only one actual directive, that only ticketed passengers get inside the Salt Lake City International Airport. Other than that, it was a laundry list of suggestions. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has been covering the news conference. Paul, what did you take away?
Well, there were a lot of, like you said, there were what they call some common sense things that the governor kind of rehashed that he's been saying before. For example, you have to keep your offices and homes clean, help be aware of others. But he said this won't work really unless really everybody does it. Now, he did talk about people over the age of 60 years old. He said people, especially those with underlying health problems, realistically shouldn't even travel, even recreationally, without like an urgent need. And he also said, hey, when it comes to vulnerable people, there are a lot of them at, say, memory care facilities and assisted living facilities. And he says those people are very vulnerable. It is best not to visit them until right now. School kids, he said not only will the schools stay closed until May 1st, they'll reevaluate what they need to do after that. But they said right now, don't even arrange for play dates. Stay off playground equipment, especially because those are places where transmission can happen really easily. Also, he said things like, well, if you have to be outside, maintain a distance, don't crowd the trailheads. Also, as you mentioned, when it comes to the airport, only ticketed passengers inside. And even when you're coming to pick somebody up, only one person is going to be allowed to go get them, and then everybody else has to stay in their car. But one big point that he wanted to verify out there, Utah is not closed for business. We are definitely in a slower period of time, but he said the Department of Workforce Services is not only trying to help people who are underemployed, but help them get a job. And the legislature likely will be called in the next couple of weeks to deal with a special session to help business owners who need a bridge to get them over this period. Reporting live, Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
Among the other suggestions the governor made, Paul, if you could stay with us, the governor suggested you cancel Sunday dinner with the extended family. He said things like use hand sanitizer, no play dates for the kids. The only thing that I heard that was new, he challenged Utahns to get takeout 3 nights a week to help the economy. Yeah. So really, after this speech, Paul, is anything different in the state of Utah than it was 60 minutes ago?
Well, with the fact that he said that this isn't necessarily an order that you're going to be cited for, Realistically, not really. However, this is definitely more of an urgent kind of plea from the governor than what we've been hearing from the state, say, up until now. But as far as the one thing also, one thing that I think is very different is how the legislature is going to be called in, how they can kind of look to see what business owners actually need. But as far as having everybody stay home, they say, realistically, it's not going to work unless we all do it. So don't even go to see friends and family. Don't have larger groups than 10, kind of what we were seeing before. But as far as like an actual hunker down, lockdown kind of mandate, it hasn't risen to that level. It seems like right now the governor is really just pleading for us to cooperate.
Paul, we're being text bombed on the Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line. People are asking after this speech, can I do this? Can I do that? I want to go camping this weekend. And the answer is nobody's prevented from doing anything, but the governor is asking us to use common sense, stay safe, and stay home. The operative word there, asking.
Yeah, and one thing he did point out, as I look over my notes, he did say that state access to state parks will only be available for people who live in that county. As far as national parks, that's something that's decided up by D.C. The state doesn't have control of those things. But as far as the rest of those, say, if you want to go to a park, basically it's a very good idea to kind of just not have the picnics in the park, not especially don't go to the playground equipment because that's where kids can get really sick.
The governor opting not to use a heavy hand this afternoon, and we'll be hearing more from him because daily briefings are going to begin on Monday. Paul Nelson, thank you for your help explaining what just transpired over the past half hour. KSL News Time 4:45. We're going to take a break now. We'll be right back.